Okay, we're going to start Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph all the way at the bottom of the page in the Schottenstein. It's 73A5. Mamish all the way at the end. 73A5. Amid Rav Huna said. The Gemara is discussing about the Sasufi. You know, you find the kid in the street, you don't know who the father is, you don't know who the mother is. And what are we afraid? It's a legitimate child, and therefore they dumped the kid as if, you know, who cares about it? So, Amir Avabar Avuna, Matzimol, if you find this kid circumcised, he's not considered Ebay Mishuma Sufi. He's not considered an Asufi. Why? Because if it's an illegitimate child, why should the parents give him a bris? I mean, they would have just thrown him out before. Mishalta Adama, if you find his limb straightened, Amy Mishuma Sufi, there's no Sufi. When a baby was born, in the olden days, used to manually straighten out the limbs. Okay, so again, it's a work. So if you find a kid, those limbs are straightened out, so obviously, the parents did care about the kid, so he's not illegitimate. Shayiv Mishcha, if the kid was misfound, massaged with oil, or Malakuchla powdered with the, they used to put powder around the eyes to make it look nicer, or, Rami Chumre, he was knots of herbs tied around him, Tali Piska, or written an amulet. You know, these used to write amulets, Kameas they were called. Or, Tali Kameah, the amulet, the spices hanging from his neck. In all these cases, Ein Bei Mishuma Sufi. The reason is very simple. All these cases show the mother was concerned of the child. So that must be that the kid's legitimate. If it would be an illegitimate child, the parents wouldn't care about it. They wouldn't do all these things to make the kid look good. Now what happens? Zeradetos michalamasa, if they found him on a sorb tree, it's a type of a tree, near the city, Yeshbe Mishum Asufi, he's considered an Asufi. Why? Because they would be close to, even though it's out of the way of animals, but the demons would hang around those trees. At the time of the Gemara, demons were still around. So therefore, if the demons would still be around, they wouldn't leave a kid there. one second. Vimlav, and if the tree was not near the city, then he's not, because then it doesn't harbor demons. It's only when it's close to a city. Whatever, that's the way we used to work in the old days.
Well, when did demons stop hanging around, did you say?
At the time of Rabban Baal Shem Tov, after the Gemara. Way after the Gemara.
How can we be sure that they did?
How do we know they did? It says that they did. I mean,
word again?
It says that they did. The Gemara speaks about seeing demons.
No. How can we be sure that they no longer...
Oh, because they were banished from the face of the earth.
And when was that?
Rabban Baal Shem Tov, before Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov.
This is known and acknowledged by all people in Yiddishkeit?
Yeah. Not? Okay, then the Gemara says, Tale Bedikla, if a kid was found in a basket suspended from a palm tree. Okay, they found the kid, that's where you found the kid. If an animal can reach it, Yashbe Mishum Asufi, then he is an Asufi, because that means the parents didn't care about the kid and they let him be caught by an animal. In Lav, if it's out of reach of an animal, Eimbe Mishum Asufi, then he's not an Asufi, because again, they cared about him that he shouldn't get hurt, so he must be legitimate. No, we're pretty much on top of the page. What happens? Zradetos Michel Amos, if you found him on a sorb tree near the city, Yashbe Mishuma Sufi. We said that before. One second. Imlav Eimbe Mishuma Sufi. Okay. Bekanishta, if he was found in a shul, Samach Lamasa, near a city, Ushchicha Beirabim, and there's a lot of people in that shul, Eimbe Mishuma Sufi is not in a Sufi, because again, people wouldn't leave a kid in a shul near the city where there's a lot of people. Vimlav Yashbe Mishuma Sufi. And if not, he isn't a Sufi because people were not there the whole times, and therefore demons were there. Imagine the Gemara saying like this. A shul near a city, people were there a whole day. Where people hung out, demons didn't. But in the outside shuls, where people weren't there a whole day, so demons used to be there. So then parents, if they left a kid in a shul where there are demons, means the kids are legitimate. And that's why they left them there, because they don't care about him. Amen, a meimer said like this. Hi Peter de Souffle, a ditch used for storing dates. If you find a kid in a pit that they used to store dates, over there he would be in a Sufi. Why? Because demons would go in those places, Rashi says. So again, the bottom line, it's not Kabbalah over here. If the child is legitimate, the parents are going to worry about the child. If it's illegitimate, they're not going to care about the kid. So if you found them in a place where there's demons, so obviously the parents don't care about him. So therefore he isn't a Sufi. If it's a place where there's no demons, then you assume there's a kosher kid. If you see a kid, the limbs straighten out or beautified or that, then the assumption is the kid's not a mamzer. The kid's a kosher kid. If it's a place where animals can eat him, if you find a baby in a place where animals can eat him, so obviously he's a mamzer, because if the parents cared about the kid, they wouldn't, if he would be legitimate, the parents wouldn't put him there. This is all the Gemara is saying here.
But of course, if the parents cared about the kid, they wouldn't give him up either.
Yeah, but the Gemara's assumption in those days was, an illegitimate child, they gave up. They didn't care about it.
It's a shame for the parents.
Only an illegitimate child would they give up.
Illegitimate, correct.
So
all these things, therefore, if we find a kid, a baby, in a place where the assumption is it's dangerous, whether demons or animals or whatever, so when you assume that, then we assume the kid's a mamzer. It's illegitimate, and therefore the parents left him there like that.
They wanted him to die in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then it says, Harifa Danada, if you discovered the child in the river channel, Embe Mishuma Sufi, it's not an Asufi. Why? Because the mother put the kid in the middle of the river, okay? Obviously she wanted boats to find the kid. In other words, the mother's gonna explain, a lot of times the mothers couldn't take care of the kids. But they didn't want the kid to die. They would put him in a situation that other people would find them. So they would put him in a shoal. Or they would put him in the middle of the river in a basket that the boats should be able to see the baby and take care of it. But Pishre, if you found him floating in melt water, meaning where it's swollen by melting snow, Yashbe Mishuma Sufi, then the kid isn't a Sufi because boats don't go there and nobody's going to find him. So the kid's going to eventually die. If you find a child along the sides of a thoroughfare, then he's not in a Sufi. Why? Because in the middle of the street, the animals went. So if you found a kid in the middle of the street, that means the mother knew the kid might get killed by animals. But on the side of the street, that's where the people walked, so obviously she wanted people to find them, not the animals. If she found him in the public street, then he does have a din of a Sufi, because he's going to get killed by the animals or by the people. So therefore, the mother didn't care, so that itself shows that it's an illegitimate child. So now the Gemara says like this. Amar Rava, Rava says, during years of hunger, if you find a kid in the street during hunger years, the assumption is it's a kosher kid. Why did the parents abandon the kid? Because it's hunger. They had nothing to eat. So they're hoping maybe somebody else that has food will find them. So in other words, the Gemara is trying to explain, if there's a logical reason why a legitimate child would be put out, then we don't say he's a mamzer. That's all. So the Gemara asks, what case that we just mentioned is Rava going on? Is he going on public place or on the side streets? So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that he'd be even in a public thoroughfare, Rava says if you find him in hungry years, he's not a mamzer. I did the shnei rovim katalei. People would kill him just because it's hunger. They're not going to kill him. They just let him die there. Why should you think if he finds him in the street, he's not a mamzer? So he says, Ela tzidei rishus harabim. So then he must say, you find him on the side of the street. So Gemara says, "My Yerushnei Rovin, why are you telling me only in the Hunger Years he's not a mamzer? Afilu belei Shnei Rovin, even if it's not Hunger Years, why should it be a mamzer?" So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara said, in the street, he's a mamzer. On the side streets, he's not a mamzer. So comes along Rav and says, if it's years of hunger, he's never a mamzer. So the Gemara says, what case are you talking about? In the middle of the street, yeah? So he's going to get killed anyway, so why? What's the difference if it's hunger or not? And if it's the side streets, he's never a mamzer, so what's the difference if it's hunger or not? Like both ways doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says like this. Now it's going into a very interesting concept of the Gemara. Alaki imed Rava, this din of Rava, that a hunger year is different, is the hard the Amr of Yudah, Amr of Baba, Amr of Yudah, Bezavdi, Amr Rav. They said like this. Kozman Shibishuk, and the next lot of Gemara is going on discussing the belief of people to say something. And we're soon going to see what cases are you believed or you're not believed. So he says like this. As long as a child is still in the street, Aviv Imei Nemanim Olav, the father and mother are believed to say it's their child. And it's not in a Sufi. Okay? Naseif Minashuk, once the kid was taken away from the street by somebody, Ein Nemanim Olav. The parents are not believed anymore to say that it's their child. Meaning like this. If you see a kid in the street and the kid wasn't moved yet, and either a father or a mother, doesn't mean both, come and say, this is my child, meaning it's a kosher kid, you believe him. Once the kid was removed from the street already, a mother or father are not believed to say anymore that this is my kid. So it's my time or why? So it says like this. Amar Ava, Hel v'yata alav shem asufi, because once he became an asufi, meaning once they took him away from the street, he's already called an asufi. So therefore, the parents are not believed to say this is their child. Why? Before, the Gemara is going to go into this at great length now, this, not only in this case, in a lot of different cases. Before an established fact, you don't need witnesses. Once there's an established fact to change it, you need kosher witnesses. Okay? A father and mother are not kosher witnesses. They're relatives. So until the kid is called an asufi. Asufi means he's gathered from the street. As long as he's not classified as an asufi, so there's no chazak about this kid at all. It's neutral. So the parents can come along and say, this is my kid. Once he's removed from the street, so the kid becomes classified as a chazaka of being an asufi. To change it, you need two kosher witnesses. And the parents are not kosher witnesses. Number one, the parents. Number one, it's either one of them. So it's only one witness.
They can't claim the baby?
No.
To get it back?
There's, by the way, all these dinim I don't think apply too much today. But, yeah. Yet, Amar Rava, Rava said, and this is where Rava's din came. Bishnei Rava and years of hunger, even though the kid was gathered off the street, then all of the father and mother are believed. This is what he says. In other words, Rava said that until a kid is established as Sufi, parents could testify. Once he's established, we don't believe him anymore. And the you'll see more cases like this in the coming up by different dinim.
Why would the parents be listened to before the chazaka is imposed?
Because then you don't need witnesses to change something that exists. Nothing exists yet.
But they are witnesses, right?
No, they're just saying it's ours.
And so what value is it that somebody says it's ours?
That the kid's kosher.
and again, but why should their statements have any value at all?
Why would they?
Are they witnesses? They're not witnesses. They're not witnesses because it's a relative.
Well, for instance, in time of hunger, Rava says they would be believed. Why would they be believed? Because there's a logical reason to say why the parents put the kid there, because they were hoping somebody else to take care of it. Now they see that the kid is taken away, right? Then they realize that the kid's not better off somewhere else than they are by them, so then they're ruling it. So it doesn't have the classification of an asufi yet. In other words, once it becomes an established fact, you can't change it just with one witness or non-kosher witnesses.
It's not that we don't believe the father and mother. It's because
Rav is saying more. That if the parents don't say anything, nobody, then the kid's in a sufi, even in hunger years. This that Rav says, in hunger years, the kid is not in a sufi, means Rav is saying, if the parents claim the kid, even after it's removed from the street, the parents are believed. Where normally they wouldn't be believed, because it became a chazaka that he's in a sufi, so they wouldn't be believed, but in hunger years, they would still be believed. Amr of Chista, Rav Chista said, three people are believed only right away. We'll see, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these cases. And afterwards, they're not believed anymore. Meaning, what are the three? A Sufi, one who testifies about an Asufi. Chaya is a midwife. Upeteres chavriseha, and a woman who frees her friends from possible nida status. The Gemara is going to explain each
what?
One.
Freeze?
You'll see that they're not, she says they're not needed. Okay. Well, we'll see right away. The Gemara is explaining each one. A Sufi, what's the case of a Sufi? The one we just said. Okay? That as long as the kid's still in the street, the parents are believed right away. Yes? The second the kid's taken away from the street, they're not believed. What's the case of Chaya, of a midwife? The case of the midwife is very interesting. The Tanya, we learned in the Brisa like this. Chaya, by the way, Chaya doesn't mean a beast. Chaya yeah. means, like in last week's part, I mean Shmais. The Mialdus Ivriyes, Ki Chaya Seina. She says they're midwives.
Because they give life, or that's...
Yeah, because they give life. It says, Chaya, Namanis, Leimar, Zayotze, Disheinev, Zayotze, Sheini. Okay, now you have to understand. Somebody has twins. The first one that comes out is a b'chor. Second one isn't. Okay, so number one, pinyan aben, yerusha, first one gets double, right? All these issues that can come up. Now, the midwife is believed right away to say this older, this younger, this number one, this number two. Right? Because nobody else is in the room.
Later on, no.
1 minute. By medvar mamur, but when is she believed? Shalay yatzisa v'chazra. If she didn't walk out of the room and came back, alay yatzisa v'chazra. If she left the room and then came back and said this guy's first and this guy's second, ain't in a minute she's not believed. Okay, why? Because they're twins. Chachamim only trusted her when it happened. When it happened, she could say, this baby was born first, this baby was born second. But once she goes out of the room, how is she supposed to remember which kid's first? They all look alike. Especially if they're twins. They all look alike. Then Chachamim said, then you're not believed. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, amen. Hochseka alemeda ayemden amenes. If she remained steadfast in her opinion, meaning, the Gemara is going to say, she didn't turn away from the child. She kept looking at the kids. Namanas, she's believed. Vimlav ain't namanas. And if not, she's not believed.
The Gemara says, what?
No, 1 second. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Ike benayo, the hoder apa. If she turned her face, but didn't leave the room. In other words, the first opinion said, as long as she doesn't leave the room, she's believed. What did the Tanakhama say? If she walks out and comes back, she's not believed. But that means if she's in the room, anyway she's in the room, she's believed. Rav Lezer says, no, it's not enough to be in the room. She has to be facing the babies the whole time. But if she turned her face, she's not believed anymore, even if she's in the same room. What's the third case? Peteres chaveresel hamai, that she frees her fellow women from nida. Says like this. Tanan, there's a Mishnah that says the following. Shleisha nashim shal yushenes b'mita achas. Three women were sleeping in one bed. V'nim tzadam tachas achas mehem. And now you find blood under one of the women. So now, are they all tamei? One is, who's tamei? So the din is kulan tameis. They're all tamei.
So why don't they check?
What happens? Batka achas mehem v'nimsa tameya. What happens if one woman checked and she's tamei? She sees she is nida. He tamei v'kulam tahiris. Okay? Then she's tamei, and obviously the others are tahar. But Amir Avchis, that's what the Mishnah says in Nida. So Amir Avchis, the Shabbat Ka'atma Kashir Vesis. The only time that woman is believed, if she checked herself immediately. If she checked herself immediately, and she saw she was Tamei, then the other two are Tahedah. But if she didn't check right away, they're all Tamei.
The Shi'ur, what does Shi'ur, the amount of what does it mean? The amount of time
it takes? Kishiv Eset, Rashi says, means actually immediately.
How is
right away.
Taich of that ends up like that.
Huh?
Shiur Veset. I mean, Veset, how long?
Miyad. Okay? Rashi says, in the Gemara Nida, Shiv Eset, She'emet O'edi Kinoch Tad HaMashkev, she wipes herself right away and she sees there's dam on it.
What's the difference between that and a little bit later, 5 minutes later, two
because
minutes?
Because maybe it came later, and that dam is from somebody else. Anyway, so the Gemara is saying like this. There's three people that are only believed right away. If they make their statement a little bit later or do something, they're not believed, okay? The first one is an Asufi, while the kid's still in the street. If the parents say it's our kid, you believe them. Once the kid is taken off the street, they're not believed to say it's their kid. Number one. Second case is with whatchamacallit, the chaya, the midwife. If there's twins born, the midwife is believed to say this is born first, this is second, this is the bukhar, this isn't. If she goes out into another room and comes back right away, she's not believed. According to Rabbi Lazar, if she turned around, she's not believed. And the third case, the Gemara says, is there's three women on a bed, you find dam under one of them, so they're all tummy. But what happens is one of the women immediately checked herself and found dam by her, so the other two are tahiris.
Why is that important for it to be an example? There was no Beis HaMikdash, or they didn't eat truma at this time, did they?
They did. I mean, the Mishnah is speaking in the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, I see.
Or even to their husbands, if they would be tar or tummy.
In the case of the chaya, but about the mother? Mother also doesn't know which one is fair, which one is...
Correct. We're not done yet with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to speak about it. Father believed or mother believed. But the Gemara is still talking about the midwife. Okay? You have it? Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. You have it?
How could the mother see?
Two-thirds of the way down. More even, but 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Tonarabah, this is even more interesting. Tonarabah, Rabbanu Lunt. Ne'men is chaya leimer. The case over here is like this. There's a bunch of women in a room giving birth. Okay? Three women in the room giving birth. One's the wife of a Kain, one's the wife of a Levi, one's the wife of Yisrael. Now, three kids are getting born. Okay? Who's believed to say which kid belongs to which mother? So again, Tanarabban. Namanis Chaya Lema. The midwife is believed to say, Zeh Kayin, Zeh Levi, Zeh Nisin, or Zeh Mamzer. You know, different women were in the room. So the midwife is believed to say, this kid is from the Mamzer mother, this kid is from the Kayin mother.
How does she know the Mamzer mother? I mean,
because she knows obviously who's in the room.
Small community.
Huh?
Small community.
No, the Mefashim explain. Well, based on the amount of cases in the Mishnah, there's four women in a room. Okay, one is a Kohen, one's a Levi, one's a Mamzer, one's a Nisin. Okay, now, how do we know which kid belongs to which mother? So even though this one woman, the midwife, is not a kosher witness to testify, you need two kosher witnesses. But because there's no other way of figuring it out, right? The Chachamim gave her trust to say this is it.
They can't. She just said in the Gemara before that if she put her eye from one.
No, speaking right away.
She's going to see all four of them at the same time?
Yes.
They don't give birth right away at the same time.
In fact, it brings out Tesef Siamtif. Wonders how could the Chachamim accept the woman's testimony if the Torah says she's not? Torah says the woman's not believed because she's not a kosher witness. How could he do it? Therefore, there's no other way to know. So this is what the Tosfos Yom Tov says. Because the question is, if the Torah says it's no good, how can they say it's good? Now, how do you believe somebody that the Torah says is not believed? So he says like this. It's a very interesting way of looking at it. The fact that there's no other way of knowing, we must say that the Torah believes her. That's because there's no other way, nobody else is in the room. Right? And the mothers don't know, the baby comes out. How does each one know whose baby, how do you know whose baby it is? So Taisus Yomtev explains, we must say that the Torah believes them in this case. Not that the Torah doesn't believe and the Chachamim say we believe. Because how can the Chachamim say you believe a witness when the Torah says they're not kosher? Right? So that's how he explains it. Now he says like this, Bamed varim amurim, though, when is this so? Shuleikara leo shemirur. If nobody challenged her findings, but if a challenge was raised by one of the parents about another of the kids, she's not believed. We don't know yet. The Gemara is going to explain what it means. The Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? But simple statement of the Gemara is, we said the midwife is believed to say this is a Kohen, a Levi, a Mamzer, whatever. She's only believed if nobody disagrees with her. But if anybody disagrees with her, she's not believed.
Including the mother.
No, 1 second. So Gemara says, "Iru demai, who is making the challenge against her? Ilei meiru dechad. If you're saying it's a challenge of one person, Amar Rabbi Yechon, ein iru pachus mishnayim. You need two people to make a challenge. One challenge, a challenge for one person is not enough. So you must say iru detrei. So therefore, we must say, right, speaking, two witnesses challenge the midwife. Okay." Now, normally, the din is like this. This is a different in the halacha from normal. Normally, once you believe in Eid Echad, then he's as strong as two. And therefore, if two witnesses come, they can't undo what the first guy said. But in this case, with the midwife, the Chachamim only believed her if two people didn't challenge her. But if two people challenged her, then she's not believed. Even though normally the Torah is believing her. If there's no challenges, the Torah says we believe it, that this is a Kohen, a Levi, a Mamzer, whatever. But the Gemara says, if there's a challenge, then we don't believe her.
That's of course, goes without saying. If there is a two witnesses, we don't need this. If there are two people inside the room, they saw what happened, we don't need her. You don't need a
chayyah
anymore.
No, but the problem is she's saying different. And she's the one that actually delivered the baby.
They were in the room, but she delivered the
right. Baby. Yeah, that's why she's a chayyah. In other words, like this. If somebody eats chaylev, yeah, trefer fats, yeah. The din is he gets malchus. Okay. So the Gemara says in the Rambam makes it down. What happens if one witness says this is chaylev? So the rule is eid echad nemen beisudin. One witness is enough. Therefore, a mashgiach. What's a mashgiach do? Mashgiach in a restaurant.
Testifies.
He testified. That's the definition of mashgiach. He's an aide, saying the food is kosher. Correct?
Only one person?
Aye, it's only one person. The din is aid echad nemen beisudin. When it comes to issur and heter, one witness is enough.
And the wife.
And the wife is enough. Yeah, aid echad nemen. So what happens if one witness says this is chaylev? We don't know. Nobody knows. One witness says this is chaylev. And then later, two witnesses come and testify that that guy ate this thing. Did he get malchus?
No, because we said right away.
Then is he gets malchus.
Why?
Why? Because when one witness, 1 minute, when one witness says this is chaylev, it's a, because we believe him, it's like two. That means two witnesses testify, this is chaylev. Therefore, when two witnesses come, the other two witnesses don't know what this is. They just know he ate it. Right? So the din is, once one witness says something, we believe him. And we call Malkum Shaminu Teira Echad, Areyu Kishnayim. This is what Gemara says in many places. Ula says it. Anytime the Torah believes one witness, we believe him like two. So the chayr over here is a chiddush, really, the Gemara says. Because normally, if nobody disagrees with the chaya, you believe it that this is a Kohen Levi Yisrael. Yeah? Yet, if two people challenge her, you don't believe her. Why? Because this that we believe the midwife is only because we have no choice. It's not real testimony. Because it's not Isser over here.
But the witnesses.
It's not Isser Vehete, it's actually monetary. Mm-hmm. Is he going to get B'chad and get double or not get B'chad and the Gab double? Right? Whether you're firstborn or not has to do with monetary things. In monetary, but because of Gurud, there's no choice. Nobody else was there. So we have no choice but to say she's believed.
Could the witnesses.
What?
Could the witnesses say that at that time she turned her head or she walked out of the room?
That's you know what? If the witnesses say that she wasn't there and the women gave birth by themselves, yeah, whatever the challenge will be. It doesn't matter what the challenge is.
So what is Inyan of right away saying it or not, it makes a difference. Does it make a difference or not? Doesn't that make her very strong or any other witness or matter?
That but right in this away, case...
That right away he said, you know, it's kosher or it's that person's kid.
They bring down that this din of a chayit to believe that there's a Kohen or a Levi, Yisrael, whatever, yeah, that she's always believed until somebody contradicts her. Not even right away. The chayit that we said before in the Gemara is only believed right away is that she says this is, you know, the mamzer, this is not the mamzer. No, I'm sorry, that this one came out first and this one didn't come out first.
Yeah,
right. Because over there is money. But here, this is a Kohen, Mount Levi, whatever, then she's believed until somebody contradicts her.
And even one could die.
No, the Gemara says, Irid must have at least two. Iboy Seima, or another answer, I'll tell you like this. Really, one person challenges it is also no good. I mean, it's not believed. I, Rabbi Yechon says, Iru needs two. Challenge is only good if two. Hani, Miliyecha, the Ikechazoka, the Kashrus. Rabbi Yechon says like this. When there's an established kosher, then you need two to challenge it. That means if you know for sure this kid is a Kohen, and you want to say no, two witnesses come and say he's not a Kohen, then you need two. But if there's never an established thing, we don't know for sure he's a Kohen, then we don't know for sure he's the Kohen, so then even one would be enough. And when these kids are born, one's a mamzer, one's a, we don't know anything. There's no chazaka yet. So even if the midwife says this is a kayin, or this is a mamzer, you only believe her if nobody challenges her. But once even one person challenges her, then she's not believed. Rabbi Yechon says a challenge needs two. That's only when there's an established kashrus, and you want to go against the kashrus, then you need two. But otherwise, one is enough to make a challenge.
You're not talking about the mother as a witness. You're talking about somebody else in the room.
Yeah. But normally, she's only an Eid Echad.
The mother.
Not the mother. The mother doesn't know.
No.
The mother can't see the baby.
Where?
I mean, not when it comes out.
Where?
No.
It's right away. Could there be a mirror there?
If there's a mirror, they don't have mirrors in those things.
No, but if you want the baby is still attached to by the umbilical cord, why can't the mother see the child?
Then everybody sees the child. We're speaking after it's cut already. If the kid's still connected to the mother with the cord, then obviously you know whose kid belongs to whom. That's not an issue. So once the cord is cut, that's the question. Then we don't know whose kid is what.
And the mother loses sight of it, or the mother loses sight of the child?
Yeah. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss later if the father is believed, the mother is believed. We'll soon see. The Gemara is going to discuss who's believed to say on each kid that they're firstborn. Okay, now next is also in the same line, but it's a very, very strange thing. Naman bal makach leimer, the owner of merchandise, meaning the seller, is believed to say, lezeh mechayti velezeh leimechayti. Huh?
Okay,
later.
It
says like this. There's a merchandise. Yeah, there's a gemara. You two are fighting. Who bought the gemara for me? You said you bought it, and you said you bought it.
Both we paid. We
said
we paid.
Well, we're just talking the case. He says I bought it. He says I bought it. So the gemara says, for a certain time, the seller is believed to say who he sold it to. We don't know yet. Now the gemara's explaining. But that's the din. The din is the seller is believed to say who he sold it to. No. B'amed varim amurim, though, when is this speaking? B'zman shemecha b'yadi. When the merchandise is still owned by the seller. Avol ein mecha b'yadi. But once it's sold out of the store, ein naman is not believed anymore. Okay? Meaning like this. To explain this din. There's a din that money doesn't acquire tangible items. Whether it's Minatayim and Rabbanan, there's a big argument in the Gemara. Okay? Bottom line is, we learned this din already. If I'm selling you this Gemara for $10, and you give me $10, but you did not pick up the Gemara, it's not yours. It's mine. That's the din. If you picked it up, you acquired it, even if you didn't give me the money yet, it's yours. But money doesn't acquire tangible items. Land it does, not tangible items. So now the din is like this. I'm selling you a Gemara, okay? I say, I'll sell you the Gemara, $10. Give me $10. Technically, you did not acquire it yet. Correct? Therefore, I could change my mind, and you could change my mind. But the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, it's called Misha Pada. The Gemara says, you go to Beis Din, you get cursed. Okay? Misha Pada, Midor HaMabul, Midor HaFloga, the God, this is what Beis Din curses you. The God that punished the generation of the flood and the generation of the bovel over there, the tower, should punish somebody that doesn't keep his word. So the Gemara says, what's the din apply? If you give me money and I don't give you the object, I change my mind, halachically I'm right. Because you didn't acquire it yet, I could change my mind. But I'm a mamzer. are going to get a cursed mamzer. Beis Din's going to curse you. But the Gemara said that's only when you gave me money. If I said to you, I'm going to sell you the Gemara, and I say, you know, forget it, I don't get Mishapara. If I tell you I'm going to sell you the Gemara and you give me money, and I change my mind, so I'm a mamzer, or you're a mamzer, whatever, you get cursed.
What does para mean? To pay back?
Mishapara, the one that
pays back?
The punished meaning. Pay back means punished. The Hashem that punished the Dora Mabel and the Dora Flug should punish somebody who doesn't keep his words. So it says like this. Nobody wants to get cursed from Beis Din like that. There's a whole process. You go to Beis Din and Beis Din curses you. I mean, it's a whole thing. Nobody likes getting cursed by Beis Din. Okay? So until I give you the goods, okay, the seller is going to really know who he sold it to. If I sold it to you, and then I say, no, I sold it to him, I'm going to get a mishapara from you, in Beis Din. Okay? So as long as that the seller still has the goods, meaning where it's possible to get cursed, he really makes sure to know who he's selling it to. Once they leave the store, he doesn't care anymore. Bottom line is, he sold it, he got his money. Who does he care who you sold it to? Okay? Got it? So therefore the Gemara says that the Baal Mekach is believed to say, L'zeh mocharti, l'zeh ein mocharti, v'meh dvorem amurim do when, b'zman sheh b'yemekcha b'yodi. When the seller is still holding on to the goods, then he's believed. Aval ein mekcha b'yodi, he's not believed. So the Gemara right away asks, this in Bar Mitzia, all over the place. So the Gemara says, v'nech zuzim manoket. Why don't you see who gave him the money?
What? We just said it doesn't make any difference if
he gives. No, but once, we're afraid over here that he, once he gets the money, he's going to make sure. So understand, he sold the Gemara for $10. Yeah? You're saying you bought it. Who did I take the money from? Did I take it from you or did I take it from you?
No, mine, not from me, no.
Because I only took money from him, why should you get it?
But we said the exchange of money doesn't do anything.
But the guy took it out of the store already. So then we say he's not believed.
So he picked it up.
Yeah. So why can't we see, right? The merchandise already left the store.
So who has it?
Why isn't the seller believed to say I took the money from him?
What does the money?
Whoever has the merchandise, yeah, believe him. If he's in the hand of A,
if he picked
believed
it up, he had
if
the key.
He has, cannot say, oh, you sold it to me. If he sold it to B, why A has it?
So maybe he sold it like, yeah, and this guy picked it up without paying.
No, that becomes what? That's something else. But I mean, if he has it...
The Gemara thought the case is that the seller took money from one guy. That's what Gemara thought. Why should he take money from both? Yeah? So Gemara thought, if he took money from one guy, why isn't the seller later believed to say, that's the guy that bought it because I took his money? We say the sellers only believe when the merchandise is still in the store. Once it leaves the store, he's not believed. So the Gemara says, why isn't he believed? Why isn't he believed to say, you gave me the money and not you? So obviously he sold it to you and not to him.
So it's in the hand of the other guy.
Right. So the Gemara says, but the Mishnah says, if it's in the hand of the other guy, you're not believed anymore once it left the store. You're not. So the Gemara says, why not? Let him say who he took the money from, and that's the guy that he sold it to. So the Gemara says, no. The Nakam et Havayu, he took money from both of them. Typical Jew. Chad midaiten, he says like this. So the question, why are you taking money from two guys if you're selling it to one? He says, very simple. Chad midaiten, one guy took the money from willingly. The Chad bakoch, one guy forced me to take the money. I don't know. Hey, me daite. Hey, let me daite. Which guy I consented to and which guy I not consented to. So therefore, he's not believed. In other words, the Gemara's conclusion is very interesting. When the Braisa says if the money leaves, if the object leaves the store, the seller is not believed. Yeah? The Gemara says he's only not believed if he took money from both of them. One forcibly, one willingly, and he doesn't remember which one's which. But if the guy took money from one of them, yeah, and the seller remembers who he took the money from, he's believed even after the merchandise left the store. Why not? I mean, logic is, he should be believed. Why shouldn't he be believed?
Even if he doesn't remember it still, you know, whoever has the merit inside, we should go back.
No, if the guy says, I don't remember it, he's not believed.
Who, the seller?
Yeah, the guys, no, the guys are fighting. They said, you have it because you took it from me. I bought it and you stole it from me.
So we are believing in Eid Ahad here?
In monetary cases we do.
Right? You should make him swear at least. Make him make a shvur.
No, that's, it's issue of heter. We,
when is deal done that there is no, like, error on it?
Right, by the way, Titus over here asks that why should you believe him more than one witness? Why should the seller be believed more than one witness? So he says, yeah, that's the Gemara saying. He should believe the one witness, make the other guy swear.
But I thought we just mentioned that only Isur Veheter we believe.
But one aid causes you to swear. If I give you lend you $1,000, yeah? I say, sir, I lent you $1,000, please give me the money. And you say what's called Lahadam. I know what you're talking about. I don't know you, I don't want to know you. I never borrowed money from you. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do I have a proof? No. Can I collect the money? No. Biblically, what's the din? Basically, the burden of proof is on me. I don't have it. I collect nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah? I'm a nice guy. I lent you $1,000. You're a mamzer. You took the money. Bottom line is, Besni can't do anything. Because there's no proof. Okay, the Chamzei have to swear Shavua Sessis. There's a rabbinic oath. Okay, what happens if I say you owe me $1,000, and I bring two witnesses, and you say no, and I bring two witnesses? What's the din? You have to pay. What's the din if I only bring one witness that you owe me $1,000? I say you owe me $1,000. You say I don't owe you anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
And one witness.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's not true.
It's not Isur Veheter. We said Isur Veheter.
But my mom is Eid Achad is Mechayev Shavua.
Oh, Shavua with the
Shavua. You have. It's a. By the way, this is one of the three biblical oaths. Made of a mixus, Shavua Eid Achad, and the Shavua of Shomrim. In this week's parashi, I have to swear that it wasn't Peshe, whatever. There's three biblical oaths. If I say you owe me $1,000 and you say no, I don't, and I bring one witness. You have to swear
to get
that
out.
I don't owe you the money.
To get out of it. Right. But you can't swear to collect.
No. And if you swear, then I don't collect. But if you don't swear, I collect. That's the din.
So what happened to the two aiding? I mean, the two aiding...
Two aiding make you pay.
Oh.
One witness only makes you swear. Therefore, what happens if you can't swear? Then I collect.
So when is the time that you are clear? Imagine you are the seller, you sold me the Gemara, I have $10. He's coming about, no, you sold it to me. I sold you, I give you the money, I have the Gemara.
So the Gemara says, if you remember, according to the outcome of the Gemara, if you remember who you sold it to, who you took money from, even later, you're believed. The seller.
I mean, it's crazy, because, I mean, I paid and I have the merchandise. Why should I listen to you? Want to listen to this guy?
Because why should he listen to you? He says he paid it. He said you took it from me on the way out of bed. You took it out of what? You're stronger than me. You grabbed it away from me.
So when is the clear cut that there is no problem? Nobody can.
When everybody agrees.
Yeah. Even you bought something, it's still.
You could, everybody agrees.
Wow.
Listen, if I say you owe me $1,000 and you say yes, I do, we also agree. Then there's no problem.
No, confusion could happen. Two people or a few people are in the store and they're buying something, okay? Puts it down, they collect the money and one
Black
person
Friday.
Picks it up.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
So, day after Thanksgiving, when they're up 4 weeks in advance to save $5, so they don't see for 4 weeks to save
$5. Good deal, 5 o'clock
in the morning. Yeah. So over there, you can have such a case a lot.
If you have a receipt, is okay? You have a receipt that...
It depends, unless he says you stole the receipt from me.
But the shavua has to be there, though.
Yeah. But what happens if you can't swear? Then you have to pay.
What counts as Torah? Is it partially admitted?
Not partially admitted. Partially admitted is made of mimixas.
You're creating a lot of jobs for...
A very simple case. If I say you owe me $1,000, and you say, I don't remember, what's the deal?
You can't swear.
No, but not swearing, but how? I say you owe me $1,000, so you know, I don't remember. Why do you have to pay?
You're more than a mixer.
I'm not made of a mixer, it's nothing. Made of mixes means you owe me $1,000. I say no, I owe you $500. I said I don't remember.
Halfway between. Maybe
you can extract money because you said yes. I said I don't remember. You can't extract money like that. So what happens if you bring one witness that says yes, you do owe him the money?
And he cannot swear.
He can't swear. Why? Because halacha is you have to swear the opposite of what the witness said. The witness says you took it.
You say you don't remember.
You have to swear I didn't borrow it. But you can't say I didn't borrow it because you don't know. So then you have to pay.
Then you have to pay?
Then you have to pay. The famous Gemara in Baba Basra. A guy walked into someone who's called Naschad Rababa. A case of Rababa with a becher. A silver cup. I go into your house and I take a big piece of silver from your house. I walk off with it. You come running, whoa, taking my becher. I said, what are you talking about? It's mine. It's mine. It's not yours. It's mine. It was in your house, but I'm taking it back. I lent it to you and I'm taking it back. Yeah? So basically, you're saying it's mine. I mean, you're saying it's yours. I'm saying it's mine. Comes along one witness that saw him take it. The witness doesn't know whose it is. The witness saw he took it. Now, I therefore would have to swear that I didn't take it.
But you can't.
But I can't swear I didn't take it because I said I did take it. But it's mine. Right? That means I can't swear to contradict the witness. See, if the witness says you owe him $1,000 and the guy says, no, I don't. So you swear an oath that he didn't. And that's it, you're potter. But you always have to swear. The shvur of Eidachon means, Eidachon obligates you to swear. But you have to swear the opposite of what the witness is saying. The witness says you owe the money, you have to swear that you owe the money. The witness says you took it, the guy would have to swear I didn't take it. Right? Or that would be the case. Let's say you have a case. You say that I went into your house and took this silver cup, yeah? And I say, I never took it. And you bring one witness that says you took it, and I swear I didn't take it, I'm believed. Here the witness says you took it. I also say I took it. I'm saying it's mine. So I can't swear against the witness, because swearing against the witness means I have to swear I didn't take it. I can't swear I didn't take it because I'm saying I did take it. So therefore I have to give it back. There's a lot of cases like that.
What's the remedy for the guy?
I couldn't get his goblet back. Take him to Beis Din?
Yeah, the witness would testify that he took it.
A lot of work.
What's the remedy for what?
What's the remedy for
to take his goblet back?
His own becher. He took his own becher from somebody else's house.
How would he recover his own?
How can he prove that it's his?
Well, let's assume the case is that a guy had a becher in somebody else's house. He enters the house to take it, and he does take it. He's forced to give it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he'll have to go to Beis Din in a different way and prove that he owns it.
Wouldn't it?
The guy has a chazaka. Listen, you're wearing a cap, yeah? If I come and grab off your cap and say it's mine, I mean, what right do I have to say it's mine? Beis Din says, 1 minute, you're wearing it, there's a chazaka, it's yours. If I, right? It's your Gemara. You're learning that Gemara, yeah? It's your Gemara. You forget about your name in it. I come and grab the Gemara. I can't just say it's mine. Because there's a chazaka that it's yours.
People do that.
I know people do it, but I'll be then you have to prove it. The chazaka is a very powerful thing in halacha.
How do you prove a chazaka? Because he was sitting in front of it, it's a chazaka?
No, it has to be that he was learning it. Once you're using it in a way that the assumption is, like that hat he's wearing, yeah? There's an assumption. If you're wearing a hat, it's yours.
But the interesting thing is that he can't contradict himself. He has to directly contradict what the witness says.
Correct. Why? And if he can't, he has to pay.
But why wouldn't at the same time? Why wouldn't they allow testimony about the true ownership?
One minute. He wants to take the owner to Beis Din. Let him take the owner to Beis Din. There's nothing to do now. Now you have to give it back. You have a different issue. You'd say that the guy is your stuff. Take him to Beis Din and prove that it's yours.
But that's where they are in Beis Din anyway, right?
No. I mean, not necessarily. The guy has to make a new case. He has to make a new case to prove his point. If he can't prove his point, it's not.
Whoever comes and claims something, we should respect it. Yes, it looks like this, you know. Why they made it like this? Make the life very hard. Like this.
The Gemara says there's a chazaka, there's an established rule that you don't demand money from somebody unless if there's something there. What, am I going to go around to everybody, you owe me $1,000, you owe me $1,000? It's a joke. Obviously, if I say you owe me $1,000, there's something there.
It's not crazy.
With the smoke, there's fire. I don't have proof. So, Gunny, I mean, Beis Din can't say, listen, sir, we're not saying you're a liar, but if you don't have proof, I'm not going to extract money from him because you say so. Two witnesses would extract the money. Eid Echad would extract the Shvuah. But you should know, if a guy keeps going around like that, and Beis Din sees, that as far as Beis Din goes, this guy's a liar. So he's going to lose his namonis, he's going to lose his trust. If a guy keeps going around, you owe me $1,000, and you owe me $1,000, and he can't prove it, you know, Beis Din will say, man, if that's the case, whatever you say, you're not believed anymore. I mean, people won't, you know, people have to be craziest to go do it. If you can't prove it, boy, what are you demanding the money for? For what? It's not going to work. Okay.